ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brian behind the glass. Yeah, Brian's back. You all fell for it. Stephon Diggs has been traded to the Houston Texans. That's why we're playing the song. It's football time in Houston. The Texans are ready to play. What was your reaction when you saw this today? I was in the middle of doing a TikTok whenever I saw this news post. I'm now a TikTok.
Oh, are you?
I'm not going to call myself a TikTok star.
That's because you're a social media influencer. That's why you have to be
TikTok.
I am
a social media influencer. I'm trying to parlay it into a TikTok profession. So I was doing a TikTok on the Astros, and then I got a notification that the Texans traded for Stephon Diggs. Like, well, we're going to have to audible. This is what great social media influencers do. They audible based on the times. But the Texans trade next year's second-round pick they got from Minnesota in that trade down 19 spots from 23 to 42. There's some late-round sweeteners in the mix. Texans get a sixth and a fifth, one of them this year, one of them next year. Like, who cares about those late-round picks? When you saw this news, what did you think, Blankers?
I went, wow. I was taken aback by it. I was in the gym, and a lot of people were like, all of a
flex.
Sudden, you heard, well, I didn't have to,
flex.
The mirrors are
humble
there.
So I was in the gym.
When you're lifting, you don't have to do that, because you don't have to flex, because you can see yourself in the mirrors.
Horrible joke.
Which way was the gun show?
either way.
Was it this way, or was it that way?
I mean, axe and sledge were still the hammers, so you could hear almost like a rumble in the gym, and they were all pointing at the TVs, and I looked up, and I was like, oh, man. And then my initial question was, what'd they have to give up? And then when I heard what they had to give up, I'm like, I think that's a win for the Texans. I think the only concern I have is locker room. But I think in terms of when we were talking about wide receivers going to get one to add to this group to make it even better, I think they did that. It goes back to the flag. I thought about the flag football game at the Pro Bowl.
A weird thing to think about.
Well, because he was CJ was throwing to him, and they made some reference to it. He said made something about, I need that guy throwing to me or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they got, there was a little where people caught on to some of that. But, hey, I think it's a good move for them.
There was, I know Paul was posted on Twitter a little bit. I didn't catch a whole lot of their show. But he was kind of, I wouldn't say poo-pooing the trade. It was just more he's not as excited as others. I think that's fair, honestly. I was reading the Athletic story from the Buffalo perspective and talked about how Diggs and Buffalo, and this has been a marriage that's really been broken up for like the last 6 weeks of the NFL season. Stephon Diggs in his last 7 regular season games, 34 catches, 315 yards, 1 touchdown. That's not fantastic. Now, I think that they all hated each other. I think that's what led to the lack of production from Diggs. I think it's what led to the Buffalo Bills wanting to trade Stephon Diggs. And we've seen this number that the dead cap, they eat $31 million. Yes, they do eat the $31 million. That's a sunk cost, though. You were going to pay that no matter what. I've also read where it's going to save them $19 million in cap space. So they do get some cap savings in trading Stephon Diggs, even though they're eating that big of a number. That's just baked into the contract. Now, they are eating that big of a number, and they're trading Stephon Diggs for a future second-round pick. So it gives you a bit of an idea from Buffalo's perspective. They were done with Stephon Diggs. They wanted out of the Stephon Diggs business. I think they wanted out of the Stephon Diggs business the last 2 months of last year, maybe even prior to that. So you probably do get Diggs at a cost that isn't as expensive as if, the Bills were trading them at 100% value. Because the Bills were sick of them. The Bills are tired of them. And I do think it is fair to have a perspective on the Buffalo side of this. Because who's to say Stephon Diggs couldn't do that in Houston? We don't feel that way today because we're excited that Stephon Diggs is a Houston Texan. And it's formed this wide receiver trio that we anticipate to be very good. You got to talk about what does the contract look like for Diggs, assuming that you restructure it. And I think they'll restructure it. You have to factor in that he is 30 and he didn't play very good in his last 7 games. For whatever reason, I hope he was disgruntled, quite frankly. I think it's likely he was disgruntled and not washed. That said, I'm very excited for this. I don't think the cost is that high. You trade a future second round pick. So you basically, you traded your first rounder. You traded down 19 spots, just a pick swap. Who cares? And then you added Stephon Diggs on top of that. So you traded 23 for 42 in Stephon Diggs. I know there's late round sweeteners, things like that. Who cares about rounds 5 through 7? I don't really care a whole lot. You traded 23 for 42 in Stephon Diggs. Is that a win? Yes, that's a win. That's a major win for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, look, I think from the Buffalo perspective, you saw what happened in the playoffs. You've seen it over the last 2 years where at the most important time of the year where the team is supposed to be coming together, he and Josh Allen were on a different page, and there was separation. And during the games, there was shouting, and there was a lot of discourse between the two of them to where at some point you pretty much figured that that was a relationship that wasn't going to last long term. But to get a guy like this and add him to a roster like they have and understand that with those three weapons at wide receiver alone, and then – you know, you add Joe Mixon. So you add two guys that do have some risk associated with them. And then, of course, because you extended Mixon, that gives you a little extra worry. But overall, the way you added the two guys that you added on top of everybody else you added, and now with the draft still ahead of you and still maintaining your draft capital for this year, there is no reason not to be extremely excited about the fact that this roster could compete with just about anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, I like the trade a lot. You form a wide receiver trio. Look, you have Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs in your same wide receiver room. Is there risk associated with Stephon Diggs? Yeah, there is risk associated with Stephon Diggs. I don't think it comes in year one. I don't think it comes in year one. Now, if there's any sort of like Stephon Diggs is going to be a bad guy in the locker room, a cancer, like somebody's already texting in that he was a cancer in Buffalo. I think he was a cancer in Buffalo, quite frankly. I'm not going to dispute that. I think he was a cancer in Buffalo. He probably felt his teammates were cancers. You know, the whole, you know, dog and pony show between the two. But he's still a very talented football player. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder because he's not very happy how it played out in Buffalo. He's no longer disgruntled as he comes to the Texans. I'm not guaranteeing that Stephon Diggs isn't going to at some point get disgruntled in Houston because it seems like he kind of wears out his welcome. I don't expect that next year. I don't really even expect it in year two. Maybe year three and on is when we start to see that from Stephon Diggs. But when you have a quarterback on his rookie deal, you have this money to spend, you're trying to compete with the best teams in the NFL, you take swings like this. These are the swings that you have to take. I appreciate bravado. Like, I criticized the Will Anderson trade, but I appreciated the bravado of trading up to number three. Like, stand on the table for things that you believe in. Caserio has done that. He did it with Will Anderson. He did it with Joe Mixon, and now he's doing it with Stephon Diggs. You've added some really good talent to this football team. I like this trade a lot. I don't think it was very expensive, and I don't think that you're committed long-term, like 4 years, for Stephon Diggs.
No, and I think the other thing that's the X factor in this is when you think about who his coaches have been, when he had Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, when he had McDermott in Buffalo, you know, he had guys that were kind of more cut and dried, but also kind of old school. Now you got a guy like D'Amico, who I believe, you know, a lot of guys gravitate towards, but I believe that he's a guy that can adapt to each individual player and get the best out of them and create a relationship where maybe it's a difference maker in terms of how you deal with Diggs in the locker room. Because we know that there's the old reputation of diva wide receiver, but we know he's taken it too far in two different locations. But I think to your point, for the next couple of years, knowing that he has a chance to win, knowing he has a chance to play with a quarterback that he seems to like and want to play with, and knowing that this team is loaded up to try and compete, you got to feel like this whole fresh start for him right now with the guys around him is exciting, as much as it's exciting for the Texans and their fans, is exciting for him too.
Yeah, I'm pumped up. The trade, 2025 second from Minnesota. You get back Diggs. You add a 24-6, the 25th fifth. Like, don't really care too much about those late round picks, but you do add a little bit of capital. We know Nick Caserio likes to trade up. You know, maybe that's the difference between trading up in the third round to get a player that you really like. So, sweeteners on the back end for the Houston Texans as well. The way that I view this trade is you traded down 19 spots to get Stephon Diggs. Do you think the Texans gave up too much?
I don't at all. No, I really don't. And I think that in hearing some of the guys talk today, Schefter and others, that said, look, this was a combo platter that we saw, some of it we saw coming when you saw that they restructured a couple of deals. And then when they made the trade with Minnesota, everybody thought it was Minnesota initiating the talk so that they could get an extra first so that they could trade up to get a quarterback. And it was coming out today that it was actually Caserio that was doing that to kind of orchestrate this, by getting rid of the first-round pick, kind of clearing the cash that he needed to clear to go get the guy that he wanted to get. regardless of how it happened, I don't think that they gave up too much. I think what they added was far more valuable than whatever they gave up. Though we do know that that Minnesota pick, probably with a rookie quarterback, is probably going to be fairly high in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
It's a risk worth taking because of the reward you can get adding a guy like that with experience to the young guys that are in your receiver room and giving CJ another weapon. And if someone goes down, now it's not last year where you're playing musical wide receivers and really kind of hoping that one of these guys steps up. Now you've got three guys legitimately that will be there for you.
Yeah, to me, it's going to be a pick somewhere between 33 and 40, 33 and 45 next year. That's, to me, is fine. I don't think the Texans gave up too much in this. I'm not a big fan a lot of times of trading a pick for a player and then paying a player. But I also don't think Stephon Diggs is going to get a major raise. Like, they might rework his deal. They might throw in some guarantees, whatever you got to do, the capologist they have over there. I'm sure that this current deal that he's on is probably going to be reworked. I would advise that the Texans rework it in a way where, okay, let's give those guarantee money, the guaranteed money up front, like year one, year two, because Stephon Diggs does have a reputation, and I don't want him to have the guaranteed money in year three. So I would like for them to front load the guaranteed money. That way, if there is an issue down the road, you can get out of it without a huge cost to you, whether it's this dead cap or whether, you know, you're not going to save a lot of money when you cut them. So I would like that contract to be worked out that way. That's something for them to figure out. I'm not worried about that today. I'm more in la-la land thinking about C.J. Stroud as my quarterback, throwing the football to a wide receiver trio of Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. Oh, yeah, you have Dalton Schultz, top 10-ish tight end. Joe Mixon, I know we've had our disagreements about Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's a solid NFL running back. I'm bullish about this offense. That's what I'm thinking of today. I'm thinking that you have a top 10 offense to pair with a top 10 defense. I'm over the moon. I'm very happy that the Houston Texans made this trade.
Yeah, this put the team on a different tier in terms of the jump that it makes based on the move that they just made. And I think that the other thing that you think about is that, you know, you can rework the contract of Diggs. Just don't pull a Joe Mixon and extend him, because there's no need to do that, because you don't know what you don't know. And you can talk to people till you're blue in the face. You're probably never going to get the true what went on with him in Minnesota and Buffalo. But in the short term, I believe for the next couple of years, this is going to be a very, very happy destination for him, with a situation where this team can win while your quarterback's on a rookie contract. They did what they had to do. You cannot be mad about the way this team has spent money and is in complete go-for-it mode. And like you mentioned, on both sides of the football now, with still a few holes that you could possibly fill and knowing that you have draft picks to use, they're not done yet, and yet you're sitting in a place where you feel a whole hell of a lot better about this team.
Yeah, Diggs is currently still on a pretty lengthy deal. According to Over the Cap, don't use SpoTrack, they ghost you. He still has this year and three more. Now, the only one that has dead money is the first year. But I don't think this is the contract he plays on. I do expect a rework deal between the Houston Texans and Stephon Diggs in some way. I would kind of like it structured the way that it currently is. Put all of that dead money in year one, as opposed to the final three that currently have $0 of dead money. But we'll see how that turns out. Houston Texans acquiring Stephon Diggs. How do you feel about this, Houston? 713-780-ESPN. A busy show. We'll talk a lot about Diggs. The Astros, again, four games below 500, and they did it in a very painful way. Rockets lose, Warriors win. We'll get to that as well. Busy show at the Killer Bees on a Wednesday. You got to stay dialed in. 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We're on YouTube as well. Just search at ESPN Houston. Blankers is at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian is back. Did not get fired. He's at Sacked by BMAC on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Texans have traded for Stephon Diggs. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the hive with the Bees. What's up, Gary?
Hey, good evening, guys. Hey, just an opinion. You guys giving your opinion. Everybody calls in. And we talk about giving points, but these are opinions. First off, Stephon Diggs, absolutely no risk. The reason we're saying that in the barbershop is that because from Minnesota to Buffalo, unlike the Houston Texans, if you follow the track of the quarterbacks he's played with, none of them were the quarterback you have now. They were high interceptions in college. They high red zone interceptions now. And so we don't see when Stephon Diggs miss a ball wide open every blue moon, we don't see it as risk. We do see that there's turmoil. But playing with those two quarterbacks who maximize their ceiling and who have the propensity to turn the ball over in college and in the pros frustrates the hell out of a lot of people. Unlike the quarterback for the Texans, who is not careless with the ball, that's a match made in heaven. We use the word risk, in my opinion. The guy is not a risk. He wasn't a risk in Minnesota. He played in the dome. Then he played in cold weather. What did he play with? Two quarterbacks who were in it, who everybody swells up, just in my opinion, calls them great or whatever, and then they turn the ball over in his own. So when we see him miss a ball or so at the barbershop, we're not persecuting him because we know you're human. But the quarterbacks, not every quarterback turned that ball over at a high clip like that. So, yes, it was coming to an head, but that guy is absolutely no risk, especially off the field. Now, he's got better quarterback play right now that's going to open up everything, in my opinion.
Appreciate it, Gary.
The two quarterbacks he had.
Gary, yes. Tell Brown we said hi at the barbershop. Look, I think there's still risk. I think his age. I think that he had a down year last year. I think that, you know, his salary is still a pretty significant number. So you can't say that there's no risk. Obviously, he's a talented receiver, and throughout his career, he's been a very talented receiver. Gary makes good points about playing with a Kirk Cousins and then playing with Josh Allen. You know, but because you don't know until you see them play and see what happens when they're on the field and when they're off the field, there's always going to be risk. But this is a move worth making. And if it is a risk worth taking, no matter how what adjective you want to give it and how you want to break it down, this was a chance to get better today, and they did it, and it wasn't a very significant price to give up in order to do so.
Let's Gary brings up good points in the non-risk thing. The first quarterback he played with in Minnesota was the greatest collegiate quarterback of all time, statistically, in Case Keenum. The Minneapolis Miracle, to Gary's point, and I think this helps Gary's point, to the one that he just made as he was calling us, Case Keenum tweeted this news, reunited, and it feels so good, !! Let's go, !! Added Stephon Diggs, added the Texans, third time is the charm. They were together in Buffalo, too. !! Let's go win the big one, !! So at least one quarterback that we know of, I don't think that Josh Allen's going to be sending out a tweet like this, but Case Keenum seems like he's advocating for Stephon Diggs.
It's a good sign. Look, it's obviously a good sign when a guy that's been in the locker room with him, like you said, in two different locations too, and had success with him. And you know, I don't know this, but I would think that if you guys have guys on your roster that have played with a guy like that before, you're probably going to talk to them. But look, I think that's a great sign. I mean, I don't think you have to hear from CJ one way or another. CJ should be very excited, and like I said, at the Pro Bowl, they seem to already be like very, very high on each other and wanting to play together. At least that Diggs dropped a couple of lines. So I'm not worried about that from that perspective.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. 6453. Wheat Straw. Today I learned two things. Jeremy TikToks at Jeremy J. Branham. And two blankers hits the gym. I'm surprised he doesn't know that you hit the gym. That comes up enough on the show, I think, where he should know that.
Not enough.
What do you think, Brian? Where Wheat Straw should know?
It kind of feels like a shot. You don't look like you go to the gym.
But Wheat Straw.
Yeah, I think that's a strong.
I mean, he's listening on the radio. He might not know what Blinkers looks like.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's not a good enough listener to the show. Maybe he should be coming out to the remotes and see what we look like.
Whenever I used to work at the Highway to Hell, everybody would tell me whenever they saw the Baytown baddie, they thought he was a black guy. Everybody told me that.
He's not
serious.
The only one in this market that's
I was going to say,
that.
I also worked with a guy in which every time they saw
Barry?
Him, lot. Yeah.
No. Barry? Well, yep. I thought you were going to say Jason Braddock.
I've heard that.
I never worked with Braddock, but Barry got it all the time.
3667, word is Diggs and his brother are a cancer. Does this make the Texans the chick that goes for the quote-unquote hot guy that is probably going to end up cheating on her? That's a weird analogy. No, I think Nick Caserio saw value here. He saw a really good player that was going for less than his true value. Mm-hmm. And Nick Caserio, like we knew that they were in on receiver. You mentioned it earlier. Like they were in the Keenan Allen conversation. We felt like they wanted to add a third receiver to Nico and to Tank into this offense with CJ Stroud, give Bobby Slowick another weapon. This was Nick Caserio. He saw Diggs' value was out there, and he made the trade that felt was necessary to improve this offense. And I agree with the trade.
I do too. I think to me, you know, short of saying it's a no-brainer, but this is a risk worth taking, or a very shrewd move by a general manager that's loading up. And he loaded up initially on a lot of defensive players, and then he added, he re-signed Schultz, as you mentioned, and he got Mixon. But now to add a guy of this caliber with this kind of resume to come in to two guys that are extremely up-and-coming doing what they're doing with Nico and with Tank, we were talking about, is Robert Woods going to make this team? Are they going to do something else at wide receiver? Well, they certainly did, and now their entire wide receiver room looks like it's one of the top, what, seven in the league?
That's a low bar.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're the best. I don't think those, that's the best duo. I think as a trio, maybe it's in the top five.
Well, you said room.
The receiver room is great.
You said seventh. You said in the top seven. I feel like that's a low bar. Like, I have trouble up with three that are better than the Texans.
Cincinnati is one for sure.
If they stay intact, yeah. I would have Cincinnati high on that list.
San Francisco, if Ayuk stays, would be in the conversation.
I mean, they drop off significantly after two.
They do.
Big drop off after two.
But if you throw George Kittle into
that. I think he's still there. Juwan Jennings, you're talking about?
Jennings.
I think he's still there. But still, that's a huge drop off.
It is.
Well, if you compare him to Tank or Nico.
Right. Yeah, and if we're talking about the best wide receiver trios in the NFL, like Cincy, if they stay intact, I think is in that conversation.
Philly and Miami, but that depends on their third receiver.
Philly's doesn't have a good third receiver, neither is Miami.
Miami's a good call. I mean, at least at the top end of the two wide receivers, there's probably four or five teams you could throw in the mix, but no one has the third wide receiver, whoever ends up being the Texas third wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I honestly think the idea that Diggs has fallen off, because I've heard a lot of people talk about it, the second half of his season last year has been a little bit overplayed, because it times up when they made a change in Buffalo with their offensive coordinator, and they decided to become a more run-heavy team, possibly because Josh Allen turned the ball over so much. And when you look at Diggs' first half of the year, his first 8 weeks, it's like 10 for 102, 8 for 111, 6 for 120, 8 for 121, 10 for 100. He was dominating in the first half, and they made a change as a team, decided to be more run-heavy, maybe because Allen's turned the ball over, maybe because of the weather in Buffalo. But Diggs didn't show, to me, any drop-off last year at all. So the only real risk here, because even with the salary cap or his financials, you could pretty much move on since Buffalo's eating the dead money if it doesn't work out in year one. Really, the only risk is if he comes up and decides to be an a-hole in the locker room. Yeah. But why would he do that? He's got something to prove right now.
I think he's happy, too.
Exactly.
Like, he's had a Buffalo. I agree with you.
Yeah, why would he do that?
I mean, his numbers in the final seven regular season games were not good.
No, they were bad, but they were bad. Lines up when they decided to be a run-heavy
team.
And
reading the Buffalo perspective, that story in The Athletic, I forget who the author was. I don't know the beat writers in Buffalo. They talked about how Stephon Diggs was playing 30-35% of the snaps in some games. And they feel like it was the disgruntled part of it, whether it was they were disgruntled with him or he was disgruntled with the offense. But he was getting out-snapped by, like, Shakir and Gabe Davis. I think it was in one game specifically, maybe even more games than that. But how does Stephon Diggs only play 30% of the snaps? So there was something going on in Buffalo.
It felt like
it was simmering the entire season. And now that it's all come to a head, like to Gary's point, we're starting to learn more. There was heavy disagreement between the Diggs side, the Bills side. Who cares who was right? Because you get Stephon Diggs, you're rewarded out of all of this. And I think that's what led to his production slipping more than like he's washed. I don't believe that at all.
We know quarterbacks are divas, and wide receivers are too. But you know that when there is a harmony between the two, that there's a connection that can be special. But you also know quarterbacks look for their favorite receivers. On the flip side, if they hold a grudge or there's an issue there, don't put it past any quarterback to be looking at, you might know who Stephon Diggs is, but you can see that where a quarterback is not just going to sit there and look one way like he used to do and probably won't throw to him quite as much. It's not where you would say, well, analytically, that's easy. You can't prove that and that maybe not. It happens. The emotions play a part of it. And if he rubs the coaching staff the wrong way, and if you look at some of those videos when they're screaming at each other, like the coaches and everything are like, oh, they look up and they're like, oh, man. And they're trying to ignore him, and you just can't.
One part, like, you mentioned the D'Amico aspect of it. Like, I trust D'Amico, like, in that situation more than I would trust. And I like McDermott. I think McDermott's a good coach. His inspirational speeches are sometimes very, very awkward. Like, read the room a little bit. Have a little bit of awareness. But I trust D'Amico just about as much as I trust any coach in the NFL. I would have D'Amico up there. I would have Tomlin up there. Shanahan, McVay, I would have up there. Shanahan to me is more like offensive genius than he is like good chemistry type of coach. I think McVay has the chemistry aspect of it as well. But I trust DeMeco more than the other coaches that Diggs had in his career, to Gary's point. Secondly, the quarterback. I think C.J. Stroud is going to have – I know he's only in year two, and you pointed to the flag football thing. And maybe we're overreacting to a flag football game. But I do think C.J. Stroud's going to have more of Stephon Diggs' respect than Josh Allen ever did in Buffalo.
No question. If you go back to the flag football game, though, the reason why it kind of – because they had a mic on the field, or he might even been mic'd up. But C.J. made a kind of on-the-run, outside-the-pocket throw down the sideline that was just absolutely on a dime that Diggs caught. And that caught, he just was like in a wow moment, and that's when he dropped one of the lines. And it's like, you know what, you see a guy that throws the football like that, whether there's pads on or not, you know that he's got some extreme ability, and you know what he did in his first year in the league, and you know that you look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to watch what happened in the offseason so far in the NFL and go, Texans have not only been one of the most active teams in the league, but maybe one of the most successful in all the guys they've added, to where you got to be excited.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the high with the Bees. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. So, first thing, I am happy to see that the Texans are making moves. It shows that, we kind of taken the step up and sort of win now. The contract, as mentioned, although we can get out of it fairly early, it's going to be a hard sell to get rid of a second-round pick just to get out of the contract for 1 year. But with that being said, when he comes out of the contract, it's going to be around the time when we're getting ready to pay a lot of these guys, a lot of these young talents that we have on the roster. But my biggest concern is how, like, obviously, I don't want to give up on Mechie, but there's a lot of what ifs with these young talents. Are we going to bring in another wide receiver and his wide receiver heads that you talk about draft? And how can Diggs kind of coach them or bring them along, or if he's someone that he even really wants to? Because you look at a lot of these teams that he was involved with, he likes to be the number one guy. And then outside of Adam Thielen, they got rid of Diggs to kind of focus on Adam Thielen. But in the Bills, he really didn't like string anybody else along with him. But that's not, let's say there's anything wrong with the talent of the Bills.
Yeah.
Another thing, I think another wide receiver group that's going to be really popular if the Chicago Bears get Marvin Harris Jr. and stuff. That's all. Thank you for taking the call.
Yeah, that's the unknown, the Bears, depending on what they do in the draft, because they have DJ Moore, because obviously they're trying to build a lot of weapons. But I'm going to hold judgment on what the Bears do till after the draft.
Don't forget about Allen. They added
Keenan Allen.
If they draft one of those top receivers, too, that's a dangerous trio as well.
True.
Chris is right.
And I don't know how they would get Marvin Harrison, though, because they're going to take Caleb Williams at one, and then their next pick is, eight or nine?
I think it's nine.
It'd
but
be
maybe
a Doomsday or Neighbors, maybe, if they fell, but it wouldn't be Marvin Harrison Jr.
I would say Rome probably is the most likely.
Sure.
But, I mean, still. That's
a good ad.
Still great.
Really good ad.
DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome, that would be fantastic. As far as the get rid of the contract, maybe I'm being optimistic here, because the Buffalo Bills took a pennies on the dollar to get rid of Stephon Diggs and absorbed a big salary commitment. Was it $31.5 million in dead cap, over $30 million in dead cap? I don't think the Texans are going to be in a position where they're attaching a second rounder to get out of the Diggs contract, though.
No.
A lot of that's going to be, assuming they redo a deal, he's currently has this year and three more with the only guaranteed money in year one. Maybe they don't redo the deal. I imagine that they would. If I had to bet, I think that they do restructure. You got to restructure it in a way where most of the guaranteed money, if not all of the guaranteed money, is up front. First 2 years of the deal. The other aspect of this is the Nico Collins. You want to extend Nico Collins. Nick Caserio, I think, has alluded to that. He's, unwarranted, brought up a Nico Collins extension whenever he was meeting with the media this offseason. So you also have to structure the Stephon Diggs contract in a way where you still have money open if you're interested in re-signing Nico Collins. I am interested in re-signing Nico
Collins. And I think, Jeremy, the other thing to keep to your point and to add on to that, one of the things that we've seen, because a lot of times you sign general managers, maybe they're more player analysis driven, and maybe they're more player personnel type guys. But you know, in today's NFL, you've got to be savvy with your finances and the cap and the way that you can restructure and redo deals. We've seen it happen all offseason so far, so that Caserio had enough money going in. When he needed more, he was able to restructure to get that. he used his ability to kind of shuffle picks to clear up a little bit more. He did what he needed to do. I have full confidence that he will continue to do this, especially while CJ is on the rookie contract, to take full advantage of maximizing every dollar that makes sense trying to get this team to the next level. You have to see what he's done in this offseason alone and go, dude knows what he's doing when it comes to the financials, so I trust in him that they're going to find a way to find a happy medium for all these guys in the receiver room, because that's a load that every defensive coordinator in the league is looking at going, whew, boy, I mean, your secondary's got their hands full with those guys.
Yeah, definitely. 713-780-ESPN. Diggs to Houston. 713-780-3776. Who wanted this trade? Casario, Stroud, Buffalo obviously did. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. I keep telling you about it. The NeoGraft procedure, you probably know by now, is a procedure that gets you your own hair back where you need it most. Maybe it's your hairline in front because your forehead has become an 8-head. Maybe you got a baboon's butt sitting there on the top of your dome and you don't like the way it looks. It can be fixed, and it's not the sprays and the creams and the foams that mask the problem. It truly is your own hair. Taking from a place that Doc explained to me in my consultation, you're never going to lose it. You're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go on the top and in the front. You will always have hair from there. He takes some of that, puts it where you need it most. It's a phenomenal experience. I went through it. The procedure is easy. It's basically painless, and in 6 to 9 months, you see the true results, but even overnight, you see the follicles there. They're growing. They're getting stronger. They're getting longer. And it's exciting as you see the hair come in. Check them out today because as a listener to ESPN 97.5, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff. It normally costs $150. For you, absolutely free. All you've got to do is just go to 975hair.com, set up an appointment. It's free of charge, no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket, no commitments, just question and answers. They explain the procedure. You ask questions. They give you answers. You see if it's right for you, too. If it's not, just walk away. If you want to do it, I'm telling you, you will be so pleased you did with Doc and his staff. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.
We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Brian is here. Got the pink slip, but still showed up to work.
He reapplied.
Why not? We gave him the pink slip. He said, I refuse. Okay. All right. He twisted our arm. Who wanted this trade more, Nick Casario or CJ Stroud?
Ooh. I'm going to say CJ Stroud. I'm going to say that CJ Stroud is already excited about Tank and Nico, but the idea of adding a veteran threat like Diggs to the rest of the receivers, I believe he's got to be jacked up because he's got a running back that can catch the ball to the backfield, but he's got a running back that is a true every down running back in this league that looks like, just based on his resume, if he's got anything left in the tank at all, that it's an upgrade from a year ago. On the grand scheme of all that he can do, you bring back your safety blanket that you love in Dalton Schultz, and now you add a Diggs to the two guys that you really had a connection with, and a Noah Brown, where in a short-term basis over two games, you had breakout games for him too. You got to be absolutely pumped. You add to that, the majority of the offensive line is solidified with the questions at left guard. You got to be absolutely jacked going into this season going, man, I don't know if I could be more excited about all the weapons I have and the fact that I'm going to be protected.
Yeah, I'm sure they're both very happy. I mean, it was Nick Casario that actually did the trade, but I would imagine C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's thinking right now, okay, all right, I'm going to sit back. Maybe you're in the shotgun. Maybe it's a three-step, five-step, seven-step. Who knows? But C.J. Stroud right now is thinking, okay, I got Stephon Diggs over there. I got Tank Dell right over here running a crossing route. I got Nico Collins running a deep post. I got Dalton Schultz, my safety blanket. I got Joe Mixon. How could you not be happy if you're a quarterback in the NFL where those are you have the five targets right there that are all good? We've argued about Joe Mixon, but Joe Mixon's still good. Dalton Schultz, top 10-ish tight end. Stephon Diggs, before last season and even until like the halfway point, one of the best five receivers in the NFL.
I would say top five.
One of the top five receivers in the NFL, and we think that he was him getting disgruntled, Bills disgruntled in him, that led to his slippage in numbers. I still think he has plenty in the tank. Tank Dell, What a segue. Mm-hmm. Incredible rookie season before he broke his fibula, blocking in the box. Hopefully they don't ever do that again. And then Nico Collins had his breakout year. Like, how are you not just daydreaming about the thought of that if you're C.J. Stroud? They have a chance to be one of the better offenses in the NFL. Bobby Slowick has to be Bobby Slowick's drawing up plays today.
Oh, my God.
He's so excited.
Yeah, Slowick's a guy that if you want some guy that's going to be the mad scientist that can really open it up now, he's that guy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. 713-780-ESPN. Here's a grade the joke text. If people are still worried that Diggs is a cancer to the locker room, at least he came to Houston where the sports medicine is number one in the country for curing cancer. Geez. That's a 0-0. That's an awful, awful joke.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're not going to read that. That's terrible.
We're not going to read that stuff. 713-780-3776. 5162, I like the fact that if Diggs gets crazy, he can be cut with no cap hit. Currently,
as of now,
that is the case. After a year.
I saw something, and I think I mentioned it to you guys in our group text, but Texans cap on Twitter expects them to do a basic restructure with Diggs, which would create a $12.9 million cap hit next season. But it's, even then, you're talking
25?
Yeah, in 2025. So even then, that's basically a two-year contract, which I think we're all fine with. Anything past the 2025 season when he'll be age 33 in 2026, to me, everything that there and beyond is fake anyway. I don't think he's getting there. If he does, great, but it'll probably be under a different deal anyway.
It's a two-year increment, just like Nick Caserio likes to talk about. It's not a window.
It's not a window. Mixon, even though he got a three-year deal, when you look at his guaranteed money, it's basically a two-year contract.
Oh, he's right about that. He likes to look at things at two-year increments. Just don't call them windows. Lenny, I like the pickup of Diggs because CJ needs time to pass. CJ needs time to pass. They really do need to address that O-line a little bit more. That is definitely the weakness of this offense, but you do have some bookends. I mean, Laremy Tunsil's top three left tackle in football. I think Titus Howard's a good, maybe slightly overpaid right tackle in the NFL. Shaq Mason's solid at right guard. You're good there. Juice Scruggs, I thought, was solid in year one. He's fine at one of those other two positions. I think he's a center.
I think he's better at center than is at guard.
I do, too, and I expect him to be your center next year.
And you need less time to throw with the receiver. If you have better receivers who are getting open quickly.
Facts.
I mean, let's not forget, and this is why I would go with CJ to go back to her initial question that started the segment, who pushed for this trade more, Caserio or CJ Stroud? We saw what happened in the second half of last season when Tank Dell got hurt blocking in the box like a fullback. Mm-hmm. There were times, like, if Nico Collins was covered, it's like, oh, crap. You could see, the wheels turning in CJ's head sometimes, like, especially in the Baltimore games, like, oh, man, I've got nowhere to throw the ball. You get a healthy Tank Dell back, you add Diggs to this, suddenly, even if the offensive line isn't, you know, tops in the league or whatever you hope it might be, he's now got more guys who are going to get open quickly, so he's not going to have to hold on to the balls long.
Yeah, Astro Josh just tweeted the Madden ratings of the offensive line to us. Not that we're grading off of
Titus
Madden's
Howard's
offensive
not gonna be
lines.
High.
Tunsil's a 94, Kenyon Green's a 69, Juice Scruggs is a 69, Shaq Mason's an 82, and Titus Howard's a 72. He asked, how worried should I be about the offensive line? We grade things here. We rate things. What are you grading the worry factor of the offensive line?
I'm not very worried because they're
rate
not,
it. Number.
1 to 10 or 1 to 100?
1 to 10.
Yeah, 1 to 10. 10 is you're terrified.
And you can use a tenth place.
7.
Okay. Well, that's pretty high. That's higher than your immediate reaction.
Higher is the worry?
Yeah, 10 is 3. You're terrified.
Three.
Okay, 3.
3. I'm not that worried. I think they'll have a top half offensive line to better, and if they solidify left guard, then I feel like they have a top 10 offensive line.
I'm at a 7-2. I'm at a 7-2 worry because I think left guard right now is a disaster.
Okay.
That's why I wouldn't mind if they drafted a left guard, which now you can do it a little bit easier because you've already got that third receiver. I'm at a 7-2. Brian, where are you at worry offensive line?
I think I'm going to split the difference with you. I'm going to be at a 5. When you have one spot that I'm worried about, with a guy like Nick Caserio, who's not afraid to move up in the draft, make trades, all the things that we've seen him do this offseason and the last offseason, I have no doubt if he's got one spot to fill on the offensive line, he'll find a way to fill it. So I think there's worry now, but I have confidence that he's going to fill it, and we're going to feel a lot better about it by the time we get to the season.
So you're assuming there's going to be another addition there.
Yeah, and like you said, second round pick, I think that's a perfect spot for it.
They're bringing in that Boston College guard on a top 30 visit And the Texans have usually drafted players that they brought in for visits, so I do think it is a clue that they're interested in him. I'm totally fine drafting a left guard because I do think that they need help there. I'm going based on this current offensive line, which is why, okay, you have a second-year center who didn't play center at all last season, who I think is going to be pretty good, but I can't just assume that he's going to be good. And then I don't think they have a starting left guard currently on this team. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. This will be the most excited you've been for the Texans since Joel Blank. This will be the most excited that you've been for the Texans since when? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
When was the last time you were this excited about the Texans? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Blankers?
I think for me, Jeremy, it's going to be right after the Kansas City game. And well before they decided to trade the best receiver in the NFL. I thought that no matter how much it surprised me and that they got the lead that they got, then disappointed me that they fell off the planet. I thought, man, this offseason, they could add a little bit, and maybe they're truly going to be on their way to kind of going where this franchise has never been before. I was pretty encouraged about the direction the team was going to go in the offseason because of what had happened, because of the fact that, you know, they'll have a bad taste in their mouth, but they know that they're talented. And they had a big lead against the best team in the NFL. That's the last time that I thought, man, this team is right. They're close.
I've never been as excited as I am about the Texans right now. I wasn't there with the Texans coming off of Deshaun Watson. The Bill O'Brien thing was the thing that hung me up there. I just didn't believe in Bill O'Brien. The Schaub Texans, whenever you like the Letterman jacket days,
that team was loaded. That's exactly where I would go. 11-1 going to New England, mm-hmm. but then it fell apart. And much like you mentioned, even though you're excited about the Watson Texans, there was the limiting factor of Bill O'Brien. There also in 2012 was the limiting factor at Matt Schaub, whereas now, like, what's the limiting factor?
It's year two. It's year two with, like, the future ahead. Schaub, you felt, was at his peak.
Right.
You know, like, this is our shot.
Or even on the way down.
Yeah, like, we got a 1-2-3-year window with Schaub, and it's like, you got to get us here, and then it's like, okay, he broke his foot. You got humiliated against New England. Well, you got humiliated against New England. I really can't take you seriously as a Super Bowl contender. So this is the most excited I've been for the Texans in the history of the franchise, and I do not mean that in a hyperbolic way. I am being sincere when I say that.
No, and I can understand it because I am as excited as I've ever been, but I was excited at the end of that Kansas City game to think about the future. Now the future's now because now it's not like when you got a quarterback, but then we were wondering, I mean, how good is he going to be and when is he going to be good? And then you see what CJ did. But then there were doubts about Nick Caserio. There were doubts about getting the right head coach, and then you finally got DeMeco. But now it seems like the whole plan has come together. All the cards have fallen exactly where you needed them to go. And you're sitting there watching a team that normally doesn't make a significant, like a big, big time significant move in free agency, make multiple moves in the offseason, including free agency, where you go, wow, like this is like almost two levels, maybe possibly up from where they were in terms of how good they could be. Yeah, now with the schedule, I'm like, I feel like they can compete with just about anybody on their schedule on both sides of the football. And in the offseason, we knew there were starters and a lot of guys you have to either replace or resign, but there was a lot of question marks. Most of those question marks to me, especially with still having the draft capital to do what you need to do with what's remaining, mean that I can't see very many room for very many holes on this squad.
BQ says this is the most excited I've been for the Texans since we were up on the Chiefs in the playoffs. I think some people would share that because, like, here we go. We're there. We're right there. About to host an AFC championship game. Afterwards, I think you feel like the disappointment. 2010, I'm freaking pumped. Great coach, great quarterback, great culture, young talent, solid GM, and seemingly competent owner makes me excited. I like how you went from, like, DeMeco great, CJ's great, culture's great, which I agree with all of that. Young talent, yes. Caserio, yeah, he's solid. Owner, yeah, he's competent, which is an upgrade over where we thought
they
were.
What are you talking about?
I was going to say, doesn't Hannah get part credit for that?
I think he's probably talking about Cal.
No, he is, but I'm saying. Yeah. But when you add in the Hannah factor to be the more stable mind in the room.
Well, haven't you heard the old saying? Behind every competent man, there is a competent woman. Haven't you heard that saying?
More competent
so
woman.
Cal has a competent woman, so he is a competent man.
Let me just say this. It's not a coincidence that every time there's a microphone in front of Cal, his wife is glued to his side right next to him. And a lot of people have said it might be a ventriloquist because of the fact that
she saw what was going on before she got involved.
Yeah, she is right there not letting one thing get by him or him say one thing that doesn't stay with the plan.
I think about a year before she started getting involved, there was that like Zoom meeting interview that or like press statement that Cal gave that was just canned and one of the most boring, uneventful, you know, quotes that he's ever put out. And then soon after that, Hannah got involved and everything.
They worked on his brand.
Yeah.
He became Cool Cat Cal, had the handlebar mustache, leaned right into
it. Started grilling burgers.
But part of it, the brand became a couple, not a guy.
Yeah, which is smart because he needed help. I have a buddy who's a creep. He's a bougie buddy. His kids go to private school.
Why is he a creep?
Yeah.
Because every time he's behind Hannah McNair in the car rider line, he sends me a picture of the vehicle. That's why he's a creep. You didn't let me get there.
It's a little different.
Yeah, he sends me a picture every time he's behind Hannah in the car rider line, which I think is a flex that his kids go to private school.
Look at
my kids. They go to the same school as the McNair children. I must make a lot of money.
I'm thankful that my buddy's son plays in the football league with Cal's son, and he never does that to me because I don't need those pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, I just
that is
them.
Definitely a flex. Look, my kids go to the same school as a billionaire's kids.
Oh yeah,
she's got a vanity play, which is weird to me. I can't say what it says.
I think that's right.
I can't tell
us off the air.
I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, tell us off the air.
8693. Never been this excited. Not even close. 9361 with the roster the Texans have now. Does Bobby stay longer after this year? I think he stays shorter. I think it speeds it up.
Yeah.
I think that he's as good as gone after this season.
I think he's gone,
which is fine.
I mean, unless
he was already hot, and now you're going to – what was the offense going to take a step back?
Right.
Is his stock going to drop?
Unless you're Ben Johnson and you just feel like you're passionate about staying for whatever reason, I don't think there's any doubt that there are going to be more suitors than he had last year, and he is going to be one of the number one, if not the number one candidate on the open market.
Yeah, I think we can already start playing his retirement tour, which is cool. Like, I wanted 2 years and then Jerod. Like, so this is fine. I didn't want Slowik to leave after year one because I wanted Jerod to have 2 years under a San Francisco scheme with Slowik. I was a little concerned. I love Jerod. You know, we're old high school, more friends with my cousin, but we know each other. I didn't want Jerod in year two to be the OC. But now that he has the second year, I want him to be the next offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. I didn't want it after a year, but after 2 years, super, super excited by the thought of that. So I'm fine. Like, Slowik, go have a top five offense, get a head coaching job, lead the Texans to a lot of wins on that side of the ball. Totally fine. 2010, what should the Texans' first pick be in the draft, defensive tackle, cornerback, safety, or other?
To me, I'm going to say that I'm going to lean for it to be a corner. I think that they still need to add a quality corner on the other side of Stingley. I feel like there's a surplus of corners, as we've talked to our different draft experts and read a lot of the mocks and heard from Lance, that I believe that there is a second corner in the future of the Houston Texans, and there should be a decent one still there with their second-round picks.
I wanted the Texans to enter the draft without holes. Like, I wanted the Texans to have a competent player at each position. You can make the case-ish that they do. You can throw cornerback number two out there. There's certainly some concerns there. I know we've talked about the second free safety spot, but you do have Jimmy Ward. We've talked about offensive guard. Now, you don't have to talk about third receiver anymore. I think running back behind Joe Mixon needs to be something that is addressed. But the reason that I wanted to cover up all the starting spots was because I wanted to go into the draft where you can sit back and take the best player available. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're picking at 42, which is another beauty of this trade, you still keep your second rounder this year. You still have two second rounders. Mm-hmm. Whenever 42 comes up and you're still on the clock at 42, assuming you don't trade, which that's no guarantee with Nick Caserio, I want them to look at their board and not feel position where they have to draft
obligated.
A certain spot. You go, I'm good with the word that I use. Thank you, though, Bankers.
Okay.
Just go with the top pick of your board. Like, that's what I want an NFL, that's what I want my NFL team to do. Like, you're covered throughout the roster where you have, like, competent starters. You're not going to be good everywhere, but competent starters where you can say, okay, we're on the clock at 42. We think the best player is a wide receiver. We're going to go wide receiver because he's the best player. Okay, cool. So, like, the Texans have put themselves in that spot. I don't want to, you know, just focus on one singular position. Certainly there's positions that are weaker than others. But I'm not opposed to drafting a receiver at 42 if it's the absolute best player on the board. BPA for me, I'm a best player available kind of guy, and I'm sticking to those guys.
Let me throw one position in there, too. Defensive tackle.
Yeah, one tech specially.
Yeah, I think that's the one where, again, and you're kind of at a luxury because you do have guys that could fill that position. But if you could go get, you know, a one tech defensive lineman that on a rookie deal that you get because he fell into your lap, and you're like, okay, well, that just makes our entire D line better and gives D'Amico more opportunities to do more things schematically with his defense, then that's a win.
While I agree with you, Foley and Settle might be better to the one tech than Okuda and Henderson are to the cornerback number two. You know,
maybe.
So isn't, like, there kind of three spots though? I mean, we've talked about it. It's the one tech, it's the second corner, and it's left guard. I think those are...
It depends on their view of Kenyon Green.
Yeah, sure.
My view of Kenyon Green is yes. That is yes to your question.
Those feel like the glaring needs. Like, I'm with you, except for wide receiver. I would go BPA, except for wide receiver, and obviously quarterback. But those feel like the three glaring needs that would get the fan base most fired up if they came away with answers to those spots.
So the Texans are picking 42nd. Let's say for some crazy reason, Brian Thomas Jr. is there at 42.
Oh, man.
And he had the number on Nick Caserio's board, you graded him out as the 25th best prospect.
Sure.
He's the 25th best prospect. He's available at number 42. The next guy that you have on your list, let's just go with Sweat because, you know, he's a defensive tackle that we all know the name of. Not saying it's realistic in this point of view. And you have him graded as your number 40 player on your big board. You're going to pass up on the number 28 guy that's Brian Thomas for the number 40 guy, even though it's a little bit more of a position at need? I'm not. I'm going Brian Thomas. Give me an embarrassment of riches.
I think I got to pass on the wide receiver. I'm going to pick up the phone and see if I can make a trade. See if somebody wants to move up. But other than that, I feel like you get another defensive tackle, it actually fills a possible need, as opposed to the surplus of riches if you add another receiver to the room.
If you had said Sweat's name, I think you were actually starting to turn me until you said Sweat's name. I'm obviously hot and
Fisky,
bothered.
Whatever his name is from Florida State.
Okay, then you might start to, because I've heard everyone.
Newton, you're thinking Newton. Johnny Newton.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard everyone say Tavondre Sweat's not a fit, but I don't know. I don't buy into that.
You're a Longhorn homer. We get it.
Yeah, there is definitely an element to that. I do hear you. Like, if you're at 42 and your 25th player is available, you have to consider it. But if the other player you're considering is, you know, a hot prospect at a position that's a desperate need, I'd still think I'd go with that.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. 713-780-3776. Great day for the Texans. They acquire Stephon Diggs. And I think us in Houston, we needed this news today after the Astros lost another tough one. But we got to talk about it. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.